I was waiting for my cue. So nice to see you. I don't remember the year, but whatever it was, you guys came. I think shortly after I came or something, but I remember being in this building, and you all sat there. Nothing's changed, except you've got these two men with you that I've never seen before. Congratulations, guys. You're doing a great job. Watch over these people. They need a lot of help. It's so good to be with you. I was thinking about Pastor Hendricks. I'm not sure if I was here when he died, but I was here when he was very ill, visited him at his home, and he had great delight in explaining to me how he used his, what do you call those things, CPACs? It had a long orange pipe on it. I guess it was one of the old kind, and it made a lot of noise. Great people. You're a good pastor.
Thanks, Tom.
You know, I do get a chance to visit a lot of churches, visit a lot of pastors, and some of them aren't very good. But you got a good one here. The other pastor, too. Orban. Can't believe it. How old were you when I first came here? You were just like 8, 9? You used to run up to the front of the church with your sisters, I recall, and there was always rivalry going on between the two of you. I think sometimes she'd sock you in the ear or something. So good to see you, to be with all of you people, the dandies. I was thinking of your mother this morning, Olive. We used to quip that she's the olive in my martini.
Oh, no.
And I think I saw her tombstone at the cemetery. Yeah, they were there.
Yeah.
Can you hear me all right?
No.
My hearing is a little bit off, and I don't get any feedback much, but if you can hear me, that's good. To be here on this Sunday is kind of an unusual thing for me, but it just happened. There's a wedding in my family. Hi, darling. And my daughter's stepdaughter, I guess she'd be, is being married, was married yesterday in a very large wedding of a lot of people from Arkansas. And it was lovely, had a nice dinner, and they're still meeting this morning. That's why much of my family is not here. Although a couple of my grandkids were here this morning. That was wonderful. What a pleasure. Kind of thrown away my sermon. It just doesn't seem right. In fact, I kind of threw it away in the early service, too. But I did want to talk to you a little bit about your ministry and the wonderful gift that God has given you to enable you to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people of this community in such a wonderful way. Salem's a great church, and I love your name. You know, sometimes I would think about the name of this church, Salem, and just a little Bible research will show you that the name is connected to an ancient king of mysteriousness about him. You can't quite pinpoint him in terms of where he came from. He just kind of appears, and he came to Abraham and some of Abraham's friends after an war way back in the Old Testament, and Abraham gave the king of Melchizedek, king of Salem, a tithe. As far as I know, that's the first place in the scripture where the book that name is used. It's used also in other places of scripture describing some particular event or whatever, but it's a blessed name. And I'm led to believe that Salem means peace. And that's your mission, to bring peace to people that have no peace, hope to people that have none of that either, joy that is bereft in their lives. And you can do that because you bring with you in your life, in your activities, in your words, your witness, you bring with you the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, as we read in that incredible Athanasian Creed. How many of you know that by heart? Not many. You know, my dad's congregation, he was a pastor, and he took great delight in telling the children, little bitty kids in the church, that if you memorize this Athanasian Creed, I'm going to give you a buck, a dollar. That was a long time ago. But kids did it. They would get up in front of church and recite this creed by heart. Brings back great memories. I have yet to remember it by heart, but I treasure it as you do. And on this Trinity Sunday, why not? This is a great festival in the church. You know, if this weren't Trinity Sunday, we'd have another set of pericopes or scriptures which we would read. And I mentioned this morning that the gospel lesson which we would read if this were not Trinity Sunday is the story of about Mary as she went to visit Elizabeth when Elizabeth was carrying yet to be born John the Baptist. Mary goes, I guess she's about 3 months along. What a wonderful story that is. And it really does have something to do with Trinity Sunday. And I was thinking about that, you know. Today we are brought to understand that the church is founded by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that churches are put into specific places in this country and in this world are not by chance, but there's something driving it. And I'm thinking about the founding of Salem. This church founded in 1876. Amazing. And I've read the history of this place. In fact, when I was here twice as an interim pastor, you've got it stashed away, I suppose, still in your archives somewhere, and you should. Those are important documents for the whole church. How this church was brought into being by some people who came here with the gospel to bring it into this wild country. And so Salem was established. And after all these years, still goes well. Sharing the good news of Christ and the wonderful hymns of the church, the creeds, with everyone who will come to listen. You know, when you read the Old Testament lesson for today, which is the history of creation, you're kind of struck by the fact that there's something else going on here, I think, that isn't written in those scriptures. And the God who gives us those wonderful words of the Old Testament, putting down in black and white how it was that he created the world. When you read the heart of that God, you sense that there's something else. And what we are not told in that first two chapters or so of Genesis is that this beautiful creation that God is going to create is going to fall away from him. It's kind of written in between the lines of that Old Testament lesson. How could that happen? And we go back to Genesis chapter 3, of course, and we find out what the written word, the answer to that question is. When Adam and Eve are in the beautiful garden and the fruit hanging on that one tree, don't touch this, becomes a lure, and then Satan appears. Don't you wonder where Satan came from? The indication, of course, is that Satan is there. And one can almost imagine Satan as he sits back wherever he lurks, watches how God in his creative power and his beauty and majesty speaks this world into creation. And Satan sits there thinking, how can I destroy it? You know, there's a passage in the book of Isaiah which speaks about an angel falling from heaven. And some people look at that and say that's an indication of Satan, once one of the great angels in God's army of angels, fell from heaven for some reason and became the enemy of God and all that God loves. And if you ever feel tempted or you feel bad about yourself or you feel defeated or you feel like you're not worthy of God's love and mercy, that's Satan talking to you today, trying to lure you away from that foundation of faith, that surety of salvation, that beautiful grace of God, trying to lure you away from all of that and to cast you down. But it will not happen because God is with us. You know, the gospel lesson for today is the story of Jesus, the last gospel chapter in the book of Matthew. And it speaks to us of how Jesus meets his disciples after the resurrection. And he gives them his last words. And among other things, he says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth." Just think of what that means. All authority in heaven and earth. And the Nicene Creed, which we use this morning, it's such a marvelous document. It talks about the mystery, the inner working of the Holy Trinity. And even before time was created, the truths of that Nicene Creed lived. So our Lord Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, comes into this world to bring all of God's grace and mercy and peace that you can possibly imagine, to bring it all to you and to me. So we celebrate that today. And Salem Lutheran Church is one of the many of thousands and thousands of bodies that have come together to bring that good news to all of the world. You know, when you look at the scripture readings today, they're just such majestic things, but you know that they're written in the context of the eventual fall and post-fall of mankind. And despite the fact that all of God's beloved creation will depart from him and go another strange way, yet God stays faithful to his love and his commitment for you and for me. In every situation of our lives, even when we're the furthest away and we feel that God cannot even reach us anymore, nor can we reach God, yet our Lord is there with us. And of course, the proof of that is that our Lord became one with us, Jesus Christ, in his birth. And you folks are here to tell the world about that good news and to celebrate it in your own lives so that you remain strong, invigorated, filled with hope and promise for the future, so that from now to the end of the age when Christ finally comes back, every single individual finally will have an opportunity to hear the good news of how much God has loved him or her, no matter what has taken place in their lives. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, it was his last greeting with them while he was still on earth, of course, after his resurrection. And he gathers with them in Galilee. Jesus loved Galilee, by the way, and Galilee is the least lovable of that part of the world. Jesus loved it the most. And so he met them there, and he gave them some instructions. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, hidden away in that little baptismal creed, baptizing them in the name. The word in, translated in, can also be translated through the Greek language into the word into. Keep that in mind when you hear those words. For when we are baptized in the name of Christ, it really indicates to us that we have been baptized into him. And we become one with him. And he never, never forsakes us. When do you think Jesus is going to come back? Do you have an idea? What do you think, Pastor? Do you ever think about that? When is Jesus going to come back?
Today's one day closer than yesterday.
He's a day closer than yesterday. That's very good. He sounds like a professor at the seminary or something. But that's true. It's closer today than it was yesterday. And when he comes back, he's going to look at all of you folks and say, "You know, I really liked your church. You had some dumb things that you did, but by and large, it was a great church. Good job." And then Jesus has ascended into heaven. Have you ever thought about what that was like when Jesus goes home? I do. There are lots of legends connected to it. I like legends. I like stories. Here's one that I love. Some of you have heard some of it. Jesus ascends into heaven. and waiting for him in heaven are the angels. And they've carved a hole into heaven so that they can look down. And they're all kind of looking over that hole. And here from earth, they see Jesus descending from the mountains in Galilee. And someone says, here he comes. They're excited. Finally, Jesus appears in heaven. And they bow down and giving him honor and glory and praise and thanks for all he did for them and for all of his people. And after a silence, reverence, worship, one of the angels says, well, Jesus, how did it go? And he said, it was wonderful. And the angels are so happy to hear that good news. And they say, Lord, how many people are yours? He says, well, I have 11 disciples. And they said, 11? Is that all? Watch to see what they do. It's going to be miraculous. And then Jesus says, I want to tell you another story about something that hasn't happened yet. And the angels are rapt in attention, listening to the victorious, ascended Lord Jesus Christ speaking his wisdom and his words. What happened? He says, well, this is a story about the future, Jesus said. It's not going to take place for a long, long time. In fact, in human years, it's going to be about 1,876 years from now. There's going to be a group of people. They're going to be wanderers. And they're looking for a place to settle and to establish a church. That's what we call them, because they believe in me. And they're ending up in a place that one day will be called Arkansas. And they're going to found a church, bring believers together, and they're going to flourish and multiply and bless the world with their existence. And by the way, they're going to call that church Salem. And the angels bow in worship and in adoration of all that the ascended Lord Jesus will do to bring all mankind to him, to be with him forever. So you keep up your part in that good mission of Christ, and the Lord will bless you and stay with you forever and ever. Amen.